All right, these are different times, and we certainly have changed our daily routine. And I'm going to tell you a story about my experience yesterday in a moment. But first, a quick announcement. Received several emails about this, number of them, and tweets about it, asking what is the status of this event. And maybe you've noticed we have pulled the promos for Jub Jam. That is the concert that we do every year to benefit the Senior Source of Greater Dallas. No big surprises. Everything is being pushed back that was originally scheduled in April or even May now has been pushed back. We have now officially postponed Jub Jam 2020, which is a bummer. We have a great lineup. Jason Eady, Courtney Patton, Gordon Keith, 1100 Springs, Prophets and Outlaws, Bobby Duncan, Steve Helms, Michael Padgett. It's a real personal thing with me, with the work that the Senior Source does, and this was going to be our ninth year. We are still going to have this, and if you've already purchased your tickets or your tables, thank you very much. We will be announcing a backup date here sometime soon, but as it stands now, it's no big surprise, but officially we have postponed Jub Jam to a later date.
Yeah, if you were going to hold it on the previously designated date, Clay Jenkins would have come down there and slapped cuffs on everybody.
Yeah. There would have been a problem for April 16th. It's not going to work. It will work at some point. It's a really important thing to us here. It's important to the Senior Source. And the artists who have played it over the years have a great time. It's an awesome night. I'm convinced we're still going to have that great night. And it's just going to be on down the line, just like all the other charitable events, any sort of entertainment event that's been postponed or canceled. Jub Jam 2020 has been officially postponed. So stay tuned. We'll give you some details on the rescheduled night for that. But yesterday was my first day out and about. Really, I was in either this office doing the show or at home since we finished doing the show last Friday. On my way home last Friday, did make a couple stops to some local businesses on my way home. But yesterday was the first day that I got out, partially inspired by our visit yesterday with your friend Brooks, who is a restaurant owner and is going through very difficult times, as a lot of small business owners are right now, whether they're in the restaurant business or just name the business. It's been dramatically altered. But for the last week, when it comes to restaurants, there's one place that has just been on my mind. And I've been thinking about him because of all the restaurants we go to, this is the one we go to the most. This is the one that I go to at least once a week. And it's one of those places that sometimes you go to multiple times a week just because you think it's so awesome. Everybody probably has a place like that where you think, well, we just went there Wednesday, but hey, it's the weekend. Let's go get a different item there just because it's so good. And it is the epitome of a small business. It's in a strip mall. It's not huge. Dine-in, I think they only have maybe 5 or 6 tables, but it's packed on a Friday night or Saturday. Sometimes at lunch, it's packed. It's an Asian grill. I might as well give them a shout-out, right? It's in Flower Mound.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to do that? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we mentioned the businesses yesterday.
Sure.
It's called the China Island Asian Grill.
Yeah, I always give a shout-out to the great Salernos where I waited tables in college.
Yeah, absolutely. But haven't they been out of business for like 3 decades?
No, they're still strong.
They're
new
blowing
location,
and going.
Going strong just off of FM 407 in Flower Mound.
New location, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's what it was. So anyway, this China Island Asian Grill, we go there all the time. And yesterday, I after talking to Brooks yesterday, and I've been thinking about this and this place for a long time. Okay, I'm going to need Beatles backup music at some point because they've been on my mind. And I went there yesterday, got takeout. I called in earlier, dropped by in like 10 minutes. And when I walked in, only one of the tables, there was one person in there. And it didn't look like they had a lot of orders going. I mean, there was some noise in the kitchen. There was some hustle and bustle. But there's only 4 or 5 people working. And usually they're going in 4 or 5 different directions. But they're all just right there behind the counter. And picked up my order. They said, here's your order for George. And I paid in cash. And I gave them a lot more than the bill called for. It's kind of what we were talking about yesterday.
We tip a lot these days.
Yeah, we tip a lot these days. A lot of people are. But it's the first time that I've done it. And I just said to him, hey, I know these are tough times for you. I come here all the time. Here you go. And that was fine. And I think they just thought it was just a $20 bill and maybe a one, and there wasn't much else there. But there was. The amount of money doesn't matter. It was a lot more than my bill was. But I just said, let's just put this down for the rest of the month. I may make it here, I may not, but I want you to have this because I appreciate, you know, your friendship and your service over these years. And they still didn't really say anything, and I left it at that and started walking out the door. And then the guy at the register said, sir, we can't take this. This is too much. And the guy that waits on us every time looked at me and shook his head and went back to the kitchen. And all four behind the counter started tearing up. And I just said, look, don't worry about it. It's not that big a deal. I didn't give him $10,000, okay? It was not that big a deal. But I gave him what I gave him, and I'll never forget the moment. As I look back, and the looks on their faces, it's hard to describe. There was fear. There was hope. There was appreciation. And just almost a blank stare of unknown, and I must have had the same look. And I just said, God bless you, and left. And then, if you think I'm babbling now, man, I just went out and lost it. And I think we're all going to have some lose-it moments at some point. But that was mine yesterday. And we always weigh, what do we tell, what do we not tell? And I just think this is, it's a really monumental time, obviously, that we're in right now. And I don't know the proper thing to do from day to day. It's going to change from day to day. But whatever you can do to show some sort of appreciation or friendship, just try it, because it will be appreciated. And I didn't expect this type of thing. I guess it's because I had been thinking about them so much. They were really on my mind, and they were the first business that came to mind when we started talking about how all these small businesses are going to struggle. And I don't know, maybe they're doing great with takeout business. I don't think so. And those rules may change as we go on here in the next couple of weeks. Anyway, that's my story, and I don't know what to take of it. And I don't know even what I was thinking as I was looking back at him. It was just a surreal, emotional moment.
Yeah, we all ought to do that. Do what you can to help out the people who are in businesses that are greatly affected by it. If you're in a position that you feel is somewhat stable, which hopefully the ticket is.
We will be for a while anyway.
That's right. But you know, the ticket's going to hurt too. Yep. Everybody's going to hurt. But it's time to do what you can to help out other people, particularly ones that you have a relationship with, which it sounds like you do at this restaurant. You like these people.
Yeah,
and you know
it could
them.
Be nicer, yeah.
And if you can tip a little bit more to those people, absolutely do that. Help where you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wondered. It's a great story, and you wondered if they're doing all right. And it sounds like this morning, after the $50,000 tip, they're going to be doing fine for a while.
It wasn't that much. But, you know, it doesn't matter the amount. If it's $5 and you normally give one, you know, mm-hmm. give that. Whatever the amount is, it's the gesture that means something. And the people who work there are Asian. And it did remind me of a story. I don't think I've ever told you guys this. My dad was stationed in China for about 6 months during World War II. And this was circa 1943, 1944. And it was at a time where the planes that he was flying, we didn't have a great number of them. So they grounded a number of pilots and other military personnel, and they sent them to an area of China that had once been occupied by the Japanese, but they had been pushed out, and now they were trying to recover. So the United States was sending military there as a recovery mission, and to try to help them, and also to make sure that the Japanese didn't retake that area. But my dad got to know the people in this small town in China where he was stationed. He was in charge of the mess hall, and this was not part of their plan. This was not supposed to be done. But my dad started looking at every night after the mess hall, just like restaurants and grocery stores over the years. If they didn't eat it and they didn't think they could reheat it the next day, they would just throw it away. So my dad, growing up in a small town in Missouri, thought, well, let's save that food and let's give it to these villagers who were starving. I mean, their world had been wrecked by World War II. And so he would, every night, whatever they had left, he and a couple of other guys would take it to the local villagers. And these people were so proud that they wouldn't just take the food. They would go back and they would insist. I mean, my dad tried, and the other guys who were with him, they tried to turn down the gifts that they would offer. And they would say, this is very old and very dear. And we still have some of those relics. I don't know if you remember seeing my parents' house. It's a wooden statue of an ancient philosopher that was hand-carved into wood. It's beautiful. I have no idea how old it is.
So they would only take the food if your dad and the other soldiers would take their gift.
That's how proud they were.
Yeah.
And it was always that. My dad didn't really talk about what he saw in World War II, and he was not on the front lines after that time in China. He did go to the South Pacific, but it was a sports analogy, kind of mop-up duty. They flew missions to make sure the Japanese were in full retreat. He was never in, you know, full combat, but he saw a lot of terrible things in those islands that they would land on that had just been acquired through vicious fights, and he witnessed some of that. He never talked about that, but he always told that story, and It relates in a way to yesterday. Maybe that was part of the look that I got back, but it was always my favorite story for my dad to tell. And we still have those relics. There was a robe that was given, this beautiful satin robe that my dad wore it for a long time, and it went kind of wonky. So I think it was my sister that turned it into.
And you hate robes, right?
Long ago, I said, hey, we need to get rid of robes. So my sister framed the material, and those are hanging in her house right now. There's no telling how old that material is.
Right.
You know, it was very old and very dear. And I don't know that. And maybe, and I thought about that story, I guess, when I went there, and maybe that's what got me. But yeah, I never told that story either on the air before, but it's one that really resonated with me throughout my childhood and to where I am now.
You know what those villagers were going through during World War II, what America went through during the Spanish flu, what other countries have gone through daily or annually or for 100 years or more. There are these crises, there are these struggles, there are these times of battling a pandemic or whatever it is. What we're going through right now, and if the worst case scenario projections are that we'll really never be rid of this virus until we have a mass-produced vaccine, this could be a really rough stretch, the likes of which we've never really experienced. It'll make the Great Recession look like nothing, or post 9/11, you know, that weird year or two after that. It could look tame in comparison to what it does to the hourly workers, the small businesses, the economy in general. You know, the trickle-up theory that I was talking about the other day, it starts with the hourly workers and the small businesses. We could be in for really, really tough times, the likes of which none of us have ever experienced.
Yeah.
And we hope not, and we hope for the best case scenario, but it might be our turn. You know, we see these. All my life, I've seen stories from around the world or heard stories like that from World War II. Or my dad was telling me stories the other day. He didn't live through the Spanish flu, but his mother did.
Oh.
And my grandmother, she had it in rural Pennsylvania, and she survived it. But 100 million people didn't survive the Spanish flu in 1918, 1919. None of us lived through that. And I'm not saying that the coronavirus is going to kill 100 million people in America. It's very likely not. But we may be in for a really weird 12 to 18 to 24 month stretch where a lot of people go through a lot of hardship.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've basically been untested. I mean, during my lifetime, it feels like we have not been tested the way certainly your dad, Giorgio, and my grandparents were with World War II, something on a nationwide level that really seriously disrupts our way of life.
Or during the Depression, like my parents were both Depression era children.
Correct.
You know, born in 1930.
Mm-hmm.
And so they grew up in the Depression. And we've never, our lifetime, we've really been pretty blessed in this country, you know, in the last 40 or 50 years.
Yeah, think about that generation that went through the Depression, then the World War. The millions of people worldwide that were affected by that, and they got through it, and that's why they were given the tag of greatest generation. They found greatness. I've already heard so many stories of kindness and innovation, like turning a local distillery into a place where you can make hand sanitizer.
Yeah, I was just talking to my brother about this yesterday, about how there's, as scary as this time is, there's something exciting about this time.
Yes.
In that there is going to be a lot of innovation that comes out of this. There's going to be a lot of community that comes out of this that did not exist before. That any times of great trial and peril comes great tales of courage and fortification, too. And innovation. Yeah, people that are repurposing their businesses. People that are doing things to help their fellow business owners. That a relationship that didn't exist before, you know, competitors that joined together, fast tracking these drugs. There'll be, you know, economic policies put in place to try to combat the economic downturn. There's just people are going to be thinking outside the box because we have to. Necessity being the mother of invention.
Turning manufacturing plants that may be making something we don't need right now into a manufacturing plant for ventilators. I've heard that mentioned yesterday. So.
Which, this is very similar to World War II.
Yeah.
That's what you had happen in World War II. When, you know, when I say Remington now, what do you think of? You think of guns. But they were typewriters at one time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right.
They made guns.
Oh, wow. Yeah, greater need for that than typewriters, I guess, in 1941.
Yeah, I've also seen it start to bring out the best in just about everybody. We still get the vile messages on social media about something we say on the show. There are just people who are going to be angry no matter what, even when it's a time where we should all kind of mellow out and pitch in and look for the best in everybody. You're always going to have a small segment of the population that's very angry, but for the most part, I'm seeing a lot of good out of a lot of people.
Yeah, and I've noticed that as I pass people on the street, we've mentioned before about how I see a lot more families that are out taking walks together and things like that. I've noticed a lot more waving hello and acknowledgement of other people as they pass by. Because there is a feeling that we do have a shared sense of humanity right now that we didn't have before this crisis, which is we're all in this together. You know, we're all facing the same existential threats.
Sure.
And we all are having to respond to it. And there's a shared sense of burden here.
And I really do have hope. I'm normally a very positive person anyway. And, yeah, there are going to be some things that happen that we've never seen before. And it's really going to be hard to take. But I do have hope, and I think that we can work our way through this. But you just take every day for what it is. And that struck me yesterday as well, how different yesterday was from the day before, but certainly last Friday.
Oh my gosh, yeah. 2 weeks ago seems like a year ago.
I was thinking about this yesterday, because yesterday was, I think, the one week anniversary of the NBA shutting things down, and then everything fell into place after that.
Mm-hmm.
It had only been basically 7 days, and it seems like that was a month and a half ago.
Crazy, isn't it?
Nuts.
I had a similar story that you, Giorgio. I went to a local place because I was taking my own advice that I gave on the air.
Right.
And I'm going to patronize a local business, mom and pop shop, to get some dinner last night rather than fixing something out of the pantry. Went in there, paid for it. It was already paid by credit card, but I was picking it up. I'm going to tip in cash. And I pulled out the $100 bill and handed it to him. I said, you know, I wanted to tip on top of this. Handed him the $100 bill, and there was like tears in this woman's eyes. And then I said, can you break this? Or
no, no, you didn't.
No.
All right, it's 8:33 here on the ticket. Coming up next, let's see what's going on in other big cities. Why don't we eavesdrop on the Touchdown Brothers in Philadelphia?